Our Father, we thank you that you have caused us in these latter days to hear the voice of your beloved Son in this word which you have entrusted to your people. We ask now that you would, by your Spirit, cause us to hear the voice of Christ, that we may truly say, along with the psalmist, that your rod and your staff, that they comfort us, and that we may cry out to you as the sheep of your flock. Hear our prayer for Jesus' sake. Amen. Please be seated. This morning, we conclude our look at Isaiah chapter 40, as we've been doing over the last few weeks, and as we have seen Israel cry out unto the Lord for this comfort which they have longed to receive after having been judged by the Lord, that now that we may perhaps hear the questions of Israel as they draw near to the Lord, wondering what sort of God would come unto them, and likewise, what would be the nature of his advent. From the weeks prior, we saw in verses 3 through 5 that the Lord was coming, that the wilderness was to see the highway of the Lord come into their midst, that he would come and visit Israel, and likewise that his word remains forever. And in this sense, we behold in the wonder this day of the nature of our Lord's advent. For he will come unto his people not as one who comes to crush them, but rather in this wonderful picture of a shepherd who draws near to his flock. Oftentimes when we perhaps think of a shepherd, we think of a pastoral scene, or perhaps of a soft and warm sort of fuzzy sort of Jesus who draws near to his people, often as we may have heard in times past. And yet this morning we see something interesting with the sort of shepherd that Christ is. Namely, that he draws near to his people, and that he draws near to them not only as a shepherd who draws in the young lambs and the ewes and all of the sheep of his pasture, drawing near to them and drawing them into his bosom as a shepherd who loves his flock, but also that he will draw near unto them as this shepherd king. His arm rules for him, and his reward is with him. Oftentimes in the ancient Near East, the type of shepherd that was seen was this shepherd king, or a warrior shepherd, who in one hand held a rod who would crush the enemies of the flock, and in the other hand would hold a shepherd's rod or a crook to tend to the sheep. We see this perhaps most wonderfully with David when he speaks of the way in which he fended off the wild beasts as they came upon the flock, and with his bare hands he had slayed the enemies of the flock, and yet on the other hand he attended to them with great care. So too this morning we see that Israel hears this wonderful news that is declared from Zion and Jerusalem and to the cities of Judah, to all manner of people, that the Lord is coming, and that he is coming as a shepherd who will rule over his flock, and that he will speak tenderly to them. What a wonderful picture, what a wonderful comfort that we see, that the Lord is coming to visit his people, to tend them as a shepherd who tends his sheep. The Lord is our portion, and we shall not want, and his rod and his staff comfort us as his people. For we see that he defends his flock. Our Lord is that victorious warrior with the people who are allotted to him. It's what Isaiah has been saying to them in the weeks prior, flowing out of Isaiah chapter 39, where Hezekiah, the most righteous king, as the chronicles say, the writings of the kings, the most righteous of kings who reigned in Jerusalem, yet who failed. Yet the Lord who is coming, the shepherd who is coming, shall rule, and his rod rules for him, his arm rules for him, verse 10. That is, that his reign is established. He's not an impotent king, but rather that he is powerful and that he comes to reign and to rule. He comes with might. What a wonderful comfort to the people who are dealing with the ramifications of a failed king. They have been told that, behold, the Lord is coming, make straight his paths. He is coming from the desert, that place of former judgment, but now the place where the Lord draws near to his people, now the place where salvation comes from. Now the Lord, he comes with might. He replacing that failed shepherd of Hezekiah and others. He comes as a warrior. We may often think of kings in our more European realm, or perhaps in our American setting, of types of we've seen a movie or we read a book and thought of a king who receives all their glory from the battlefield. That is, they are only as so good as their number of victories or the number of lands that they have conquered. Yet this morning we will see that the Lord's might and his arm ultimately is seen in the way in which he tends for his flock primarily. His victory is great. It is total. And yet notice that it comes directly prior to verse 11. Verse 10 says, "Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd." And he comes and he draws near as this mighty king. And as a mighty king, he comes primarily to shepherd his people after he has conquered. Israel is shepherded by the Lord her God, that wonderful warrior shepherd. And he is a warrior in a couple of senses. In particular, he will protect them from their external enemies. You look at Jeremiah chapter 31 with me, or if you'd like to simply listen as I read, Jeremiah 31, verse 10. "Hear the word of the Lord, O nations, and declare it in the coastlands far away. Say, he who scattered Israel will gather him and will keep him as a shepherd keeps his flock. For the Lord has ransomed Jacob and has redeemed him from hands too strong for him." The Lord is that wonderful warrior who will draw near to his flock. Do you notice Jeremiah speaks of the Lord's might and of his victory in relationship to the flock, and that he will take his flock from those who have held the sheep in captivity. The Lord comes and he will crush external enemies to his people. He will cause them to be redeemed and brought unto himself. What comfort for the people of God who have heard that Hezekiah failed and they will be sent forth unto Babylon in living memory, and that they will be there for a good while, and yet the Lord will redeem them. The Lord's rod is that which crushes the enemies of his people. That's a comfort, that the Lord draws near and that he comes with might and that his arm rules for him, that he comes able and willing to reign, and that he exercises his might in the midst of his people. It's a wonderful thing to know that our Lord not only beholds his sheep and knows his sheep, but he rules over them, protecting them from external enemies. Likewise, he draws near to his people, and he will protect them from internal enemies. If you'd like to look at Ezekiel chapter 34. Ezekiel chapter 34. Building on the shepherd sort of imagery that is present in Isaiah and indeed throughout many of the prophetic material of the Old Testament, we see that so often when the Lord is depicted as a shepherd, there is also this quick connection made to his rule as a king, that he is a shepherd who rules, and he rules over his people as he rules over the world. Speak more of that after reading verses 1 through 16 of Ezekiel 34. Says, "The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, ah, shepherds of Israel who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the wild beasts. My sheep were scattered, they wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. My sheep were scattered over all the face of the earth with none to search or seek for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, declares the Lord God, surely because my sheep have become a prey, and my sheep have become food for all the wild beasts, since there was no shepherd, and because my shepherds have not searched for my sheep, but the shepherds have fed themselves, and have not fed my sheep. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my sheep at their hand and put a stop to their feeding the sheep. No longer shall the shepherds feed themselves. I will rescue my sheep from their mouths, that they may not be food for them. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he's among his sheep that have been scattered, so I will seek out my sheep. I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel by the ravines and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep. I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed. I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, and the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. And this terrifying passage for those who would be false shepherds in Israel is also in many ways the grounding of the comfort of the people of Israel. Namely, that those shepherds who have not done as they were to do, as they were instructed, to feed the sheep, to seek the lost, to strengthen the weak, to bind up those who are sick, to fend off the wild beasts, they have not done so. And Israel has reaped that and have been driven forth as food for the wild beasts. Yet now the Lord will draw near. He has an issue with the shepherds. He is prosecuting them by the prophet. And he will come against the shepherds, verse 10. And he will require the sheep from them and put a stop to their shepherding over his sheep. The Lord has seen. He is coming near with might to judge not only those enemies who are external, but those who are internal, those who have not done as the Lord has commanded, those who have not been good shepherds over the sheep. Now the Lord will draw near and he will crush them by his rod. May say, why is that a comfort for all those who have not been under the rod of those false shepherds? There is comfort. Israel has comfort that Hezekiah and those who failed, the Lord is coming. He is coming with his might. His arm rules for him. He is coming and he will crush those who have harmed his people. And he himself will rule over them. The wonderful transition. It's not that he comes and he puts fallible shepherds over them once more. No. Rather that the Lord himself draws near and he will shepherd his people. He will require the sheep at their hand. He protects them from internal enemies. The comfort is that that which is coming is permanent. It will not pass away. The Lord is a warrior and he protects his people. This is why, turning back to Isaiah, we see that not only does he come with might, verse 10, but that his arm rules for him and his reward is with him. And he draws near as the victorious king, having already received his reward, having already received the might to rule. And indeed, he shall rule, and he shall rule over his sheep in such a way that no longer shall they be harmed internally by those false shepherds or externally by any who would harm his people. He is victorious. He is the salvation of his people. This is the comfort that we behold and that we may likewise draw upon as those who are the children of the Most High. That we have received this wonderful salvation from the Lord, that he has drawn near as king over his people, as a warrior king, as so often depicted in the prophetic materials, who draws near to his people, his arm rules for him, and he seeks to separate out his sheep from those false shepherds, and he does so. What a wonderful picture it is of what our Lord has done. But likewise, the comfort that it is for the people of the Lord, that the true shepherd shall come into their midst, and he shall slay the wild beasts which have harmed them. If you're familiar with John chapter 17, Jesus, when he is speaking on this prayer unto the Lord and to his Father in this high priestly prayer, as it's so often described, he speaks of the reward that he has received, of this reward that Isaiah is in many ways referencing, that his reward or his recompense, his wage, is with him. He has received that which has been promised, what he has earned. We ask, well, what is his recompense? What is his wage? In short, his wage or his recompense, what he has received as this king, as this wonderful mediator for his people, is a people. John chapter 17, verse 1, Jesus says, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. Since you have given him authority over all flesh, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. We see the picture that is being laid out for us by the Son. He asks for the Lord to glorify him now that he has may give eternal life to the people that have been given to him. Why? Verse 4, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do, he has received a people as his wage, as his recompense, a flock to shepherd over. They have been granted unto him. They belong to him. In this way, we may say that as he has been given the flock, he comes to rule over them. Verse 10, all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world that I am coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. While I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost, except the son of destruction, that the scripture might be fulfilled. See, Jesus is the salvation of his people. His people he has received, and he rules over them by his rod, by his scepter, we might say, by the utter power of his decree. He is that good shepherd who rules over his people. He is a warrior, and that is a comfort for us, that he has crushed the enemy that laid out before us, but likewise that he has prayed that we should be maintained. He is a king, but likewise he is that good shepherd who shepherds his people by his crook or by his shepherd's staff. For he tends his flock by his word, and we shall not want. If you'd like to turn back to Isaiah, we see that the good news that the herald cries forth is not only that the Lord himself draws near, and that he draws near by his might, but likewise that he will tend us like a flock. Verse 11, he will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. What a wonderful comfort it is to the people of the Lord to see that not only is our Lord this great king who crushes the enemy, but also that he is one who tends and cares for his people like a shepherd cares for his sheep. If you think back to Ezekiel 34, the prosecution that the Lord lays out against the false shepherds, he speaks of all the ways in which they have not tended the sheep. And that, behold, now he will come himself. It says, I myself will come. And he will do all those things which a good shepherd would do. He will seek the lost. He will bind up those who are broken. He will tend to the sick. He will protect them. He will rule over them. Our Lord is that one who will shepherd his flock. But notice, he speaks tenderly to them. For he cries forth in verse 9, saying to the herald of the good news to lift up your voice with strength, to cry forth to the people. He speaks to his flock. We saw that Jesus rules. We ask, well, how does he rule? We heard in Psalm 29 at the opening of the service this morning as we sang of the various ways in which the word of the Lord has an effect upon the nations, even to the point of saying the wilderness of Kadesh shake at the word of the Lord. And yet, as he causes the world and the earth to shake, likewise he speaks to his flock, but in a very different manner. If you'd like to look at John chapter 10 with me. John chapter 10. The apostle is drawing upon much of the shepherd imagery or the shepherd motif, which is present in the prophetic books. And he's making a lot of hay with it, we might say, to draw forth the many ways in which Jesus shepherds his people. If you recall, last week we saw that the word of the Lord, or the word of our God, endures forever. Now we see this shepherd speaks to his people. John chapter 10, verse 1. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. We see in this wonderful pastoral imagery this shepherd who goes forth and he's calling out his sheep one by one from the pen in which they have been kept overnight to guard them from those who would do them harm. He draws them out, and the door opens to him, for he is the true shepherd. And he calls out his sheep, and they follow him. Verse 4. Why? For they know his voice, and they respond unto him. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Ezekiel 34, the sheep have been scattered. They did not know these false shepherds, for they did not cry with the voice of the Lord unto them. But now it says that the Lord himself will draw near, and he will shepherd them. Isaiah 40, verse 11, the Lord will shepherd and lead those sucklings, it says, or the young lambs and the ewes who are nursing, and lead them forth, those who are the most vulnerable in the flock. He will lead them. And he will draw them forth, and they will follow him. The sheep know his voice. Our Lord proclaimed his word by the prophets, but the people did not listen to them. For the false shepherds so often sought to feed themselves. They fleeced the flock rather than serving them. But now, the good shepherd is coming to visit his people. 2 weeks ago, we saw in verses 3 through 5 of Isaiah 40 that the way is to be prepared. For the Lord is coming, and he is meeting his people. He will shepherd his people. What wonderful comfort that the sheep of the Lord know his voice, that he speaks to them, and they come out to him, and they follow him for his own sheep, and he calls them forth by name. He knows them. What a wonderful juxtaposition or contrast between the way in which the Lord rules by his rod and he crushes all enemies of his people. And yet on the other hand, he likewise is a good shepherd. Jesus saying in John chapter 10 that he calls forth his sheep by name. He knows them. He cares for them. He cares for us. He knows us. The comfort that we know is that not only does he rule with a rod of iron over the nations, and that by a word he will judge the nations. And likewise, that by a word he has called us forth by name, and that he knows us, and that he knows our weakness. And still he says to us, comfort, comfort my people. For our Lord speaks, and it comes to pass. If you're still in John, look at verse 7 with me. Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. Pausing for a moment. What wonderful comfort that Jesus, the good shepherd who has come, that his sheep know him, and that he has come. Why? Verse 10. That they may have life and have it abundantly. This is why he has drawn near. He has come to give life to his people. Furthermore, as Isaiah said, that his reward or his recompense is with him. It says what? I am the good shepherd, verse 11. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. How did Christ accomplish that which he had come to do? How did he merit a people for himself? John 17. By laying down his life for the sheep. He met the requirements of that eternal covenant, the covenant of redemption. And the Father granted unto him a people whom he shepherds, shepherding over us by his rod and by his staff. He comforts us, granting unto us eternal life. Not like the hired hands who have come before, who care nothing for the sheep, and when trouble presents itself, they flee, allowing the sheep to be scattered. Jesus continues in verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. Verse 14, stating that Jesus is a good shepherd, that he knows his own, and his own knows him. That is to say, his sheep hear his voice, and they rejoice. For it is the good shepherd who speaks unto them, speaking words of life, saying that enter unto by him and he shall grant unto them eternal life. That he lays down his life for the sheep, for them, and he speaks to them by name. What comfort to the people of the Lord, herald that is crying forth from Zion upon the mountains of Jerusalem, that he has sheep in this fold, and not only of that fold, but of other folds to the nations. Recall in verses 3 through 5, the glory of the Lord will be revealed to the nations. The glory of the only begotten Son of God revealed to the people who reveals God's glory to them. And he lays down his life for the sheep, for he cares for them. He does so of his own accord. His rod, his rule is established. His staff, it is established. And this, as we may say, what way does our Lord tend the flock? He tends it in a sure fashion. He speaks and it comes to pass. He grants life by his word. For he calls us from death to life. If you're still in John, we continue as Jesus continues dialoguing about the shepherd motif. We ask, why are we looking at so many verses in the Gospels and other places about shepherding? Aren't we focusing on Isaiah 40? Absolutely. And yet, what is the prophet looking forward to in this good shepherd motif? Namely, looking forward to the one who is coming, saying, behold your God, to the Messiah, to Jesus, who has come. He is the good shepherd. Verse 25 of John 10. I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me. But you do not believe because you are not among my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. What a wonderful comfort. Israel, who has seen and in many ways experienced a failure of past shepherds who have been scattered, Ezekiel 34 and Jeremiah 31, verse 10, now hear in the voice of Christ, as promised by the prophet Isaiah, that the sheep will hear the voice of the Lord and they will know him and they will follow him, that he will give unto them eternal life. His reward is with him. They are not looking for another. Furthermore, just as Christ laid down his life according to his own will, and he has taken it up again, he gives right to his people, to eternal life, such that they will never perish, that he will raise them once again on the last day. What a wonderful comfort that the way in which he shepherds them doesn't come to an end at the end of our last breath, but rather continues on. His rod and his staff extend into the life which is to come. Our Lord says, comfort, comfort, my people, says the Lord. He rules over us, not for a short while, but for the rest of our lives. He is the God of the living. This wonderful picture like to draw forth another implication, namely that Jesus, as he is calling to his sheep, it's not as if he looked among all the sheep of all the folds and selected those who were the most beautiful, but rather that he selected those sheep who were in many ways dead, that they were dead, and he called them to himself, and he grants them eternal life, the right to life. John chapter 10 immediately is followed by John chapter 11. You say, well, of course, it's numerically so, and yet it's important, logically speaking as well. For notice, in John chapter 11, there is the sense of which Jesus has said that his sheep know his voice, and he grants them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. Verse 25 of John chapter 11. Jesus is responding to Martha after her brother Lazarus has died. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. Moving on down to John chapter 11, verse 43. This wonderful picture will actually pick up in verse 41. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. And this wonderful account of Jesus calling from the tomb a man who had died by his word, and he came forth. He came forth at the word of Christ. And this wonderful picture of the way in which Jesus speaks to his people, those who are in tombs, and he calls them forth, we see something of the way in which Christ by his word brings forth those according to the resurrection. In John chapter 10, Jesus had been describing to his disciples the way in which he is the good shepherd who speak to his sheep and they know his voice and that he grants to them eternal life and they will never perish, calling them from death unto life. And in John chapter 11, immediately following this, we see something of what that will look like. Jesus as the good shepherd calls forth one from the tomb, namely Lazarus. He knows his sheep, and he calls them by name, calling Lazarus forth from the tomb. He speaks according to his own authority, and his recompense is with him. What a wonderful shepherd who speaks and brings forth from the tomb a dead person. When it says in Isaiah 40, comfort, comfort my people, says your God. And likewise, to cry forth good news that he is that good shepherd, we see something of what that will be like in John chapter 10 and 11. He cries forth and he brings forth the dead from their tombs, a picture of salvation. And furthermore, the way in which Christ will resurrect his people on the last day according to his word. What is that comfort that we have received as the flock of God? That our Lord rules over us by his rod. And he rules absolutely, without any sort of contingency or any sort of alternative plan. His rod is with him. His arm rules for him. And on the other hand, his staff, he leads us, calling us forth by name from the fold, and we follow him, for he has granted us eternal life. Calling us forth from our tombs like Lazarus, calling forth by his name. Don't think it's any coincidence that in John chapter 10, Jesus immediately thereafter goes forth and calls forth one who belongs to his flock by name and showcases his power even over death. And he leads us according to our weakness. Turning back to Isaiah chapter 40. He leads us according to our weakness. Not only does he know our name, not only does he lead us, but he knows what manner of persons we are. For in Isaiah 40, says, he will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. And the life after Christ has called forth his people from the tomb. And he's called us forth, granted us new natures. May I ask, what sort of shepherd do we have now that we have been brought into his flock? We have a shepherd who knows us. He knows us. The passage in Isaiah could have simply have said, he will tend his flock like a shepherd, and leave it at that. But it goes on to describe those who make up his flock. He will gather the lambs in his arms. The lambs are the small sheep who are weak and infirm and unable to walk along by themselves. They do not know the way. And yet he will gather them in his arms and he will carry them in his bosom, showing the intimacy with which Christ interacts with his people, leading them along. He knows their name and they hear his voice, for they are his sheep and they follow him. Where they fall, he picks them up. And likewise, those who are with young, those who are the most vulnerable of the flock in many ways, he leads them along gently. He knows their weakness and he leads them according to their need. What a wonderful comfort to hear at the very end of the comfort declaration by the prophet that Jesus is their shepherd, this God who comes as their shepherd, the Lord their God, and that he will know their weakness and he will tend them accordingly. And he will cause them to be led unto eternal life, for he has granted them eternal life. Yes, what sort of life do we have in the flock of the Lord our God? I'd like to conclude this morning by considering Psalm 23 as an example of what life is like in the Lord's flock. What we can say as our conclusion to hearing that the Lord is our shepherd and that we shall not want. I invite you to turn there. Psalm 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." Pausing there. We see the life of a sheep in the flock of God is wonderful. The Lord is our shepherd and we shall not want. He provides for our needs. He provides for our spiritual needs, life abundantly in his name. We received eternal life, like Lazarus calling us forth from our tombs. Furthermore, we know that he is our victorious king who crushes his enemies by his rod. Even if we don't see that in this life, we know he will on the last day. Likewise, he makes me lie down in green pastures, leading us beside still waters. We know that no matter what turmoils or trials or travails we have in life, yet he is leading us beside green pastures and beside still waters, restoring our soul. It's a spiritual comfort. It's not to say that life will be easy in every aspect, but rather that in every aspect, as our Lord leads us through life, he has prayed that the Lord would keep us, John chapter 17. We are his reward after all. And likewise, he is leading us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. What comfort! Though we are sinners and we so often err, lack of conformity or transgression of the law of God, yet he leads us in paths of righteousness, granting unto us all that we need for life and godliness. Not according to anything in us or wrought by us, but for his name's sake. He does so because he has sworn by his name and he can do no other. Thus we can say in verse 4, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows." That even in the midst of trouble, even in the midst of our enemies, our Lord has prepared a table for us, anointing our head with oil, that we are anointed for his sake, such that we can say, even though we are in the shadow of death, we fear no evil, for our Lord is with us. His rod and his staff, they comfort us. What wonderful comfort do we hear from Isaiah 40 and Psalm 23, that we are comforted because of our Lord's rod and staff, because he is king. He is, in many ways, our priest, our shepherd. He is king and priest, and he speaks to us as the prophet, priest and king. preparing for us a table in the presence of our enemies. He causes us to sup in the midst of death. And yet, he does so for he has caused us to receive eternal life for his sake, such that we could say in verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The comfort we have received is that our Lord shepherds over us, calling us by name, knowing our weakness, and even in the days of trouble which now are upon us, we could say that goodness and mercy have followed us all the days of our life. For our Lord has caused us to receive rest and peace for his sake, and that we will dwell with him forever. Though he is absent from us now bodily, he dwells with us by his Spirit. And even now today, as we draw near to the table of the Lord, we may say he has indeed prepared a table before us in these latter days. Now he causes us now to receive spiritual nourishment by his word, but also by these tangible signs here, which we will see in a moment at the Lord's table. That our Lord tends his flock as a good shepherd. And that we may say that we have surely received comfort from him because he has caused us to receive all manner of good things, life eternal. And we may look forward to that last day when he will call us forth by name as he did Lazarus. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life, and we shall dwell in the house of our Lord forever. Please pray with me. Our Father, we thank you that in these latter days you have spoken to us by your beloved Son, that no longer do you allot for us failed shepherds, but rather Christ, the chief shepherd, the good shepherd, who lays down his life for the flock. We ask, Lord, today that you would cause us to behold your rod and your staff as you present yourselves to us, even at your table this morning, that we may say with the psalmists that surely goodness shall follow us all the days of our life, for you have caused us to receive eternal life in your name. We ask, Holy Spirit, now that you would cause us to hear the words of Christ, which have been spoken to us in your word, and likewise that you would cause us to apprehend Christ in the supper. We would ask these things in his name. Amen.